Well, thank you, Alex.
Fareham Crescent Limited, ticker is FCR. Last time we met was in January, face to face.
That's right. It was a cold Friday evening, and I had recently joined the company as a non-executive director.
How did that come about, please?
So I joined as non-executive chairman. I had been involved with the company previously as an advisor. I'd been a lead role in the IPO back in 2010, and I'd followed the company through some of its evolutions in the earlier days. Yeah. Then when the outgoing founding chairman wished to retire from the board, he asked me to come in as a non-executive chairman. We then, as part of that process, I came up to meet shareholders and agents such as yourself, yeah, and got some feedback and instigated a strategic review. As part of that strategic review, we looked for a start at this other project in Spain, which I'm sure we'll discuss more, and also a couple of the senior management elected to resign. As part of that, the board then invited me to take the reins as managing director and therefore become executive chairman.
That's what I liked about you when we met up in January. You're a very hands-on guy. You're very approachable, and I don't know if Vestas realise this. You will actually talk to them on the phone and by email.
Yes, I think it was difficult for the previous management, who were based down in Australia much of the time, to interact properly with shareholders. And as part of the strategy, the board, on my recommendation, realised that it would be better to have the management here in London in the same time zone as the investors, the same time zone as our principal assets in Spain and in South Africa, and as our key advisors as well. Certainly, I'm very happy to talk to investors. Having been an investment professional, I'm very comfortable with the rules and regulations about that, and so consequently, I'm comfortable and approachable, I hope.
Well, for one, I know you are, and I know people who have actually phoned you up. And just before we get going, the volume on your share and so on, surely the likes of say the compliance team, the Nomads, the AIM regulators, there must be a bit of a tension at the moment, because it looks like you've really people are starting to pick up on what you're doing.
There's two factors at play here, Alex. Yeah. Firstly, yes, we've come up with a series of announcements over the last couple of months, not least of which is a couple of small fundings that we've done. But the other factor is that today, the new shares from our last placement, some 500 million, hit the register. So I think what's going on is that a lot of people are looking at that as the event which has triggered some activity, plus the fact that I'm speaking to you.
Yeah, it's true. Well, we have spoken in the past on the phone, actually. So just to kick off, you've got Fareham Crescent. It's apparently going through a metamorphosis. Into what and why?
So, the company had been a single product, single asset company trying to develop a large iron ore deposit in South Africa. And we took a strategic view to try and use the fact that the market for these assets was so poor in the face of concerns about commodity markets, try and use that as an opportunity to buy something cheap that we really liked and really believed in, so that we could move it up the value curve. So the metamorphosis is from being a single product company into something which actually looks more broadly at generating value, trying to use small amounts of money to create new amounts of value, and then reflect that through our efforts in marketing and transparency and good governance into the share price.
Yeah, because just looking at it, you've picked zinc, and the mining market at the moment's picking up. So it looks like you're on the curve. You're in the right place at the right time, in my humble opinion.
Well, thank you. Time will tell. Zinc at the moment, I think, is still extremely cheap, and I think it's got a long way to go. But there is starting to build a body of evidence and opinion that the zinc market will move into deficit, and actually quite a clear deficit. And that can only, in my view, be very positive for the zinc price. And thereby positive for those that can pick up zinc assets. We don't have a zinc asset yet, but we have an option on a suite of zinc assets, and I think that will place us in good standing down the track.
It's just when I talk to some of the other mining companies, just the feedback you get, and not digressing, but you look across, lithium, you've got gold, silver, and it just looks like the markets are definitely turning for the mining companies. It looks a good time, like, to be honest.
I hope so, yes. It's very difficult calling the turn in the whole market
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
and just as hard really in the individual ones. There are a lot of companies in gold and even quite a lot in lithium, but there are not many in zinc.
Yeah, that's true. So what's the broad strategy of the company to going forward?
The broad strategy is to make sure that every penny that we raise and every penny that we spend can generate hopefully a greater amount of value. That is our strategy, that is our dictum. To do that, we have to be very conscious of our cost controls, and we have to be very conscious of the way in which we allocate our own resources. We are a metals and mining company. That's not going to change. We have a principal asset that remains our lead and our main focus in the iron ore asset in Limpopo Province, the Moonlight Project. And we wish to turn our efforts there into money. The zinc project is a secondary project, and we think that that's a very good one for the reasons I've just discussed.
Yeah, if I can just obviously the interest, people talk about this, the Moonlight Project. You have a funding partner. Is how do I say this? Everybody's basically a lot of people are looking at this Moonlight Project, but me personally, I think the Spain player looks with Goldcrest and the zinc and all that. I think that's an interesting one. What I'm trying to say is, without trying to get anything, obviously, that's not in the public domain, they look two very exciting prospects.
Yes, you're right. The Moonlight Project is where we have a huge amount of value, and how that is developed will be absolutely key. The Zinc Project, as and when we complete the acquisition, and we now have raised the money to do so, that may look more like the blue sky. It's still an early stage project. But it had a resource on it previously. I'm very hopeful that we can develop a new resource on the first project there swiftly. And given what I said earlier about the potential deficit in the zinc market, I think there's a great deal of prospective value enhancement in that project.
Okay, why have you gone after a new metal in a new continent?
So there's a certain amount of diversification logic there. It is a bit difficult if you're stuck in a single metal and in a single continent. And a number of companies and a number of your investors will have suffered as a result of being stuck in the wrong metal and in the wrong country. And I've got to say that Ferrum definitely fell into that category. If you're involved in two metals, and in two different continents, then you can switch your efforts and allocate your resources across. So it just gives you an extra dog in the race, as it were. As it happens, I think that having Spain on our agenda is a smart move because it's a mining country with great infrastructure. They're hungry for jobs, and they also have great mineralization.
The European Union as well, very stable What's the funding strategy of the company pre-revenue, please?
We have a typical junior mining funding strategy, which is based around equity placements. We did a small equity placement in February to fund the option. We've just completed a bigger equity placement to take us through for the projects that we have at hand, including that acquisition. Embedded in that is an option, so that with a strike at 0.165.
Your warrants, yeah.
Yes, they are technically options. People keep reminding me. They are the point being that if the share price remains above that level, then logically those would get funded, and that can derive us the benefit of another £815,000, and that will cover us comfortably forward. So that's the funding strategy.
Yeah, well,
Pre-revenue.
yeah, because I was obviously watching your share activity and so on. They should really kick in soon, or they will kick in, but that'll generate revenue for you guys, like you say. So you won't need no dilution, so to speak.
Yes, I mean they create a dilution in the fact that they'll be
Yeah.
converted into shares. That's right, but you're right in the expression that we should not have to do another placement if those warrants, if those options are then exercised.
Yeah, because obviously warrants, that's the investors do like warrants. That's when you get your sticky investors, and that's when you get your people who really want to invest in the company. That's the beauty of them for me. Why does Ferrum have listings on three stock markets? You're in the UK, Australia, and South Africa.
Very good question, and it does feel like an anomaly for a company this small. The
Exactly.
history is this: this is an Australian company that started off with an ASX listing, and that's our primary exchange. The company then came to AIM in 2010 because AIM is where you raise the money for these kind of companies, particularly Africa. There's a lot more interest in African mining in the UK than there is in Australia, or there was at that time. The South Africa listing came about as a methodology to roll up the greater interest in the holding company of the Moonlight project. So it was a device that would allow certain exemptions from what was called then the Black Economic Empowerment schemes in South Africa. So
Right.
it's because of that that we have 97% of the asset holding company. To be honest, the South African and Australian listings do not cost us very much. It's the AIM listing that costs you because of the structure of brokers and Nomads, etc. However, it's the AIM market that's actually the useful one for us. So we are where we're at. And we can manage it quite comfortably. But the AIM market is where the liquidity is currently.
No, that's great. Thanks for clearing that up, because that's a standout question. As the new MD, who was not, don't take this rude, by the way, Justin, I know we're mates. As the new MD, who has not done this role before, how can you be confident that you can deliver?
Yeah, I have not been executive chairman of a junior mining company before, but I have been an advisor to a number of junior mining companies and a number of executive chairmen, to that matter, for a period of time. I've had an interest and an involvement in mining, which goes back into last century, let's put it like that. I'm also chairman and founder of the Oxford Mining Club, which
Yeah.
puts me into a great deal of contact with the sector and the investors. And I'm very lucky that I have an excellent set of advisors and directors, board members around me to keep me honest.
Yeah, but you just beat me to the punch there. I was gonna mention that Oxford Mining Club, but you've just stole me thunder. Right. So what sort of news flow can we expect from the company this year, please?
Well, I'm hoping a good deal of positive news flow. Obviously, I can't go into the specifics, but you're asking what sort. It'll broadly come into two categories. News flow about South Africa. We have a funding partner there. We are looking aggressively at how that partnership can evolve. That partnership is not an exclusive one, so we are entitled to receive and foment conversations with other partners down there. Our partnerships down there include mining companies, steel companies, the municipalities. We have a very good relationship with the Department for Mineral Resources. We're talking to the other local communities, and then clearly there are the investment groups as well. So any developments in our relationships with those can create very exciting news flow. Then we could also see further studies come through or further information come through that pertain to the resource. That we have not stopped doing studies, and we have not stopped looking at ways in which we can develop our understanding for the feasibility of the project. And in Spain, clearly the next main announcement should hopefully be the development, sorry, the completion of the purchase agreement, and then how we are going to derive value there, possibly by reinterpreting the very large amount of existing data and drill core on the lead asset in Taral.
That was actually just, I was going to touch on Spain there just to say it was fully funded. You've got Goldcrest, you've got the zinc situation, and I believe you've quoted in the public domain £2.5 billion.
Pounds weight of
Yeah, sorry,
zinc,
I apologize.
of
I
pounds
clarified.
value.
I
And
apologize.
yes,
Sorry.
that number was ratified in a Micon International report that was published through the Canadian system, the National Instrument 43-101 system. Now, that they had a particular methodology, a particular geological theory. We think that that theory may be improved on, but it is a widely accepted fact that there's a great deal of zinc in that geological formation down there. And I myself went to walk it with the geologists, and I was very impressed with what they showed to me, and I was very impressed with the reports that I've had from our technical team. Who know the assets already anyway.
Okay, so that leads me on to, do you see the company building its portfolio in zinc assets or in Spain, perhaps?
I would see us looking. We like zinc, and so we've already had people approach us about other zinc stories in other places. At the moment, we want to be focused on what we're trying to do. We're still a company that's broadly in a kind of turnaround situation, and we've got big projects and big aspirations for the birds that we have in the hand. I should put it like that.
Could use a word, may I
Yeah, thank you. Nothing wrong with Spanish birds, but I'd probably
Oh,
stick to the mines we've got.
exactly. Oh, right. So, what's your personal measure of success in this company, please?
Yeah, we have a, junior mining companies that are quoted have a very easy metric, which is the share price. The share price of Ferrum Crescent is still a long way below where it was when it came to the market back in 2010.
That's true,
There are more shares in issue, etc. we've got a long road ahead of us. We've got plenty of work to get on with, and we've got plenty of partnerships to forge and form, not least of which with the investors. And so my personal measure of success for this company will be to keep the share price moving onwards and upwards, and try to recover the value and the faith that people had in the company originally.
Yeah, to try and, some of the lost ground. I understand, from past investors, obviously new investors won't know that story. So your market cap, the last time I looked, I can't keep track of it, it's 2.4 million. Question is, what's your thoughts on your market cap being sub 5 million? Can you answer that question?
Yeah, my personal thoughts are that our market cap should go up, because we're adding value to these stories, and that if these metals perform in the way in which we think, then the embedded value of what we've got and all the economics that pertain to the future mining of those will improve. Our market cap, you've got to be, everybody ought to add on the 500 million shares that are just coming into issue. So we've now got a total of 1.273 billion shares in issue. So that's the number to calculate the market cap. But even with those in, our market cap is extremely low, considering that we are a company which has just successfully raised money twice, that we have a very interesting project in South Africa in a metal that seems to be recovering nicely. And we've got an interesting version of that and in a very strategic location. Plus, we have this option to acquire these high-grade zinc assets in another very good location with good geology, good topography, and we have, I think, an excellent team to deliver.
It sounds really interesting. Like I said, me and you have talked in the past and all that, and I remember the February raise was oversubscribed, and then you've done it again here. But just by the way, thanks very much for talking to LSE Share Talk. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Justin.
But anytime.
Just a quick one here. So just a quick one. So say over the next 3 to 6 months, it must be exciting times for you guys on the news front. I know you can't, but in the public domain, there must be a news flow coming for shareholders.
Yes, it's our absolute determination to bring through regular news, not just out of the spirit of better communication, but, we believe that we've got the right course of action in place to bring through positive change to the story. And that'll have to come through the news flow.
Yeah, because that's, like you say, that's what shareholders want to hear, that sort of thing. But again, Justin, thanks very much for talking, and I'm sure I'll be on the phone sometime pestering you.
Anytime you like.
All right, thanks very much.